The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yes, it's time, everybody. It's the part of the week that you can't afford to miss. It is the weekly version of the show that's burning up the airwaves.
Yes.
Tony's feeling the heat right now. Kiefer and Curry is back for another week. Tony, always great to be with you. We are right on the cusp of football season, and like our cohort, the legend, performed in a promotion video the other day, he broke into "It's the most wonderful time of the year," and there's so many people in our region of the country that feel that way. So I got to ask you the question: are you ready for some football?
No, man, it is so stinking good, and it's weird because you know we had a little bit of a cold front come through just about a week ago, and it like to 90. And it just to feel that briskness in the morning air, yeah. It was like 64 degrees. It's just, I don't know what it is. We could have a heat index of 123 on the first Saturday college football season, but it just feels cooler. The spiders start coming out. The leaves are falling. It's just a fantastic time of the year. It's great. And it really helps because it's pretty hot down here in Birmingham all the way through September, but it does cool things off a little bit. And it's just a beautiful time, you know, for the next 4.5 months. We get to watch, of course, the Kiefer and Curry show on ABC 3340, 10:30 to 11 o'clock every single Saturday morning. You get to watch, of course, the ACC kickoff after that. You got SEC football, and then we got the National Football League, man. I am super stoked about my Cincinnati Bengals this year. It's going to be a great year. I'm fired up.
I'm interested looking for an angle to talk about. Of course, college football starts this week. It's a limited schedule. It's considered very cleverly, I think it's week zero, yeah. Because there's a handful of teams that play the week before the season really starts. There's more games on next Thursday night. And then, of course, the schedule starts completely in earnest on Saturday, September 2nd. The same day, by the way, that Kiefer and Curry starting lineup debuts on ABC 3340.
Yeah, that's
a nice coincidence.
You know, I think the week zero thing is kind of like the Chinese babies and the American babies. You know, when we're born, we're zero.
Oh, that's exactly.
And when Chinese babies are born, they're already one. So I like the American way. I think zero is good.
Yep. So we have football to watch this week. Probably the only notable game is Notre Dame playing Navy in Dublin, Ireland, which is kind of compelling. But there is an SEC team in my action, Tony, on Saturday afternoon. Those Vanderbilt Commodores who once saved you from a 3-week stint on a billboard. Yes. So I know you're forever indebted to the Doors.
Hey, listen, we know we got Vanderbilt and the SEC for our APR numbers. We got to get those numbers up, and we know they have sticky tape on their glasses, and they wear pocket protectors. But guess what?
Yeah,
we like having Vanderbilt because we consider it a bye week for most SEC teams.
Yeah, and female extra point kickers. Yes. But the point about Vanderbilt is they'll be hosting the mighty Hawaii Rainbows. They traveled on this weekend last year all the way to Honolulu and laid like a 60-3 whooping on Hawaii. And of course, this is Vanderbilt, so that was like surreal. But that's just how bad Hawaii is. But that's going to be the opener. But I wanted to talk about, Tony, because, you know, it's funny. In our state, which is almost completely college football dominated, it's, you know, you walk up and somebody says, "Are you Alabama or Auburn?" Well, I always have to kind of fudge around because my son went to Alabama. So I'm more Alabama than Auburn, but I grew up in Georgia. So I don't admit that too loudly. I'm afraid I'll get mugged. But but around the country, And I know you've lived a lot of different places and grew up, you know, in basically the Cincinnati area. There's a lot of disagreement and a lot of, you know, different allegiance. Some people identify themselves as absolutely college, and other people say, you know, I live for the NFL. So there's advantages to both. I thought it might be kind of fun to talk about, you know, what kind of typically identifies, you know, how you become one or the other.
No, so I came from Cincinnati, you're right, and Cincinnati Bearcat football was not squat in the 80s, 90s, even in the 2000s until recently. I went to Xavier University. We didn't have a college football team. The last time we fielded a football team was 1974, so I had nothing to root for there. So I get down there, and that question is, you know, who are you for? And I had no clue. I thought they were talking about men or women. I'm like, I'm for women. And they're like, no, no, no. We know you're
for that. And we know Farrah Fawcett. We know from listening to the show, Farrah Fawcett had already settled that argument.
Yes, exactly. So I actually picked up college football in 1988. And now I asked my son, who, by the way, I just moved to Clemson, South Carolina this last weekend. And I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling because my money is now going to Clemson. So I feel like since I have an investment in the program, I have to root for them. And I'm having a difficult time. I love Dabo Swinney, Jay Barker, my old radio host, used to throw footballs to him. They played in the same football. I love Dabo. I love what he's doing in that program. But all of a sudden, at the age of 57, it's time for me to start rooting for a brand new college football team. I'm having a difficult time doing it. I will say this. You know, I love delving into stats, and I love doing a lot of prep for this show. So I looked at the most watched sporting events of last year. Do you want to take a stab what number one was?
It's got to be the Super Bowl.
It is. 99.18 million people. Number two, NFC Championship. Number three, AFC Championship. These are the most watched sporting events of last year. Number four, AFC Divisional. Number five, NFL 2022, Week 12. That's the Giants and the Cowboys. NFL. Wow. NFC wild card, number seven, NFL, number eight, NFC divisional, number nine, 2022 week 12, Thanksgiving Bills Lions, number 10, AFC divisional, number 11, NFC wild card. These are the most watched sporting events, all sports in the United States, 12 NFL, 13 NFL, That's 14 incredible. NFL, 15 NFL. I'm going to go ahead and spare you the time. The top 32 most watched sporting events last year were the National Football League. Number 33 was college football's playoff national championship game. And the next one, 34, was the Olympics from Beijing. So, I mean, if you're talking about what's more important to the viewer nationally, and obviously we're down here in the South and we love our college football, and I love my college football, don't get me wrong. But really, when you look from coast to coast, it's the NFL, and it's not even close. Roughly 203 million people, unique watchers. That means 203 different people watched the NFL last year. Only 123 watched college football, which really surprised me.
Yeah, I would not have thought the disparity was that vast. But, you know, there's a lot, and I think it's fascinating to kind of examine some of the reasons for that. Of course, some of the biggest population centers are NFL dominated. New York, Chicago, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But also, Tony, I think a big factor in the NFL just going to the next level is the fact that fantasy football has become such a monstrous thing. Mm-hmm. It started off just being, I remember the first fantasy league I was in, you know, we kept all the stats on a piece of paper and tabulated everything up each week. Now it is so sophisticated. And the leagues are so involved with the drafts and the trades and the roster moves, you know. And I've really toned down now. I've only got two teams coming up for this year. But at one point, I had six fantasy teams I was managing every week, and it was like a full time job. You were GM of those teams, and it's another competitive angle. And I think that has become such an obsession, coupled with the fact that now gambling on the games is not the dirty little secret that it's was cast before. It was always the big elephant in the room. Nobody mentioned it, but it's been prevalent. My son Case out here in Nevada, who of course is the sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, will tell you there's nothing that compares in terms of volume in the sports books than the morning of NFL football. And we had that experience locally in Birmingham when we had the parlay contest at the Birmingham Racecourse. We had people lining up outside at 8:30 when the gates didn't open until 10. So it is a huge fascination, and the NFL has by leaps and bounds control of that. Those are entities that college football doesn't really command on that level.
I think that's one of the reasons that the United States, as we know it, is more of an NFL nation than a college football nation. And I think it's because there are too many things to keep track of when you're talking about college football. You have 32 NFL teams, and you can know the quarterback for every one of the 32 teams. That's not that difficult, even for a person who doesn't follow the National Football League. You can't do that for 133 D1 football teams in college football. And I'll also say this, you know, the NFL is very stringent on its time constraints. It's a 3-hour game. You're good to go. On top of that, you know, I can tell you exactly off the top of my head exactly when the first NFL game is going to be on Thursday, when the last one's going to be on Monday, and you're done. College football, and this is part of another reason I love it, particularly when you're talking about Dublin and you're talking about some different areas of the country they play or different parts of the world. College football, man, goes from 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And again, from a gambling standpoint, it's fantastic, but I feel like I love analogies. I feel like it's going into a restaurant. They're two fine restaurants. Sometimes when the menu is 16 pages long, I just say, just tell me what's good and just give me that.
Give me a corn dog.
Exactly. It's like Dreamland. When you used to go to Dreamland, you used to get white bread and ribs. That was all you needed to have.
That's it.
It was good. Guthrie's the same way. You got chicken fingers and fries. That's it. And then when you go to the NCAA, you go to college football, the menu is 18 pages long. And I think sometimes it's just too difficult to keep up with. But, you know, and people love to keep up with their NFL teams. But I totally agree with you. You talk about the major metropolises, though. You talk about the Green Bays and the Buffaloes of the world. Those are the ones right now that could be probably most important this year just because of quarterback changes and the quarterback they have in Buffalo. So yeah, I think it's fun. I asked my son, who loves all football, and now he's going to Clemson. I said, what's more important to you, college football or professional? And he said professional, and he's going to Clemson. I was like, go figure.
Yeah, he might get swept up in that environment there, because I've been to a couple games at Death Valley, Frank Howard Stadium, and it's a pretty great atmosphere. It's funny because I really have nothing against the color, but it seems like every college football team, Tony, that's orange, I absolutely detest them. So I don't know. There's a pattern there. Florida, Tennessee, Syracuse, Clemson. But anyway, I hope the college game, though, because I think a lot of the moves we're seeing made and the landscape completely changing and conferences disintegrating and realignment. All of the money that's being thrown around now to basically buy players being able to transfer on the just a whim. Unlike the pros, where there's some structure and some contracts in college football, I mean, you could basically put yourself up for bid, you know, like three different times and transfer and keep cashing in. They've got to get some control because I think a lot of the moves of the major conferences and all of this realignment is trying to create a model more similar to the NFL. And I'm not so sure that's a really good way to go. I wish college football could keep some of its traditions. That every time there's this movement, you have these traditional rivalry games that disappear. Back when we were younger, could you ever conceive that Nebraska and Oklahoma wouldn't play? That was like the game of the year every single year. Now Texas and Texas A&M don't even play. Of course, they'll start playing again now as part of the SEC. But so many of those rivalries have gone away. I think college football loses something when it's just selling out for the money now. And I think trying to mimic more the NFL, because it's a pretty unique product on its own.
In the last 5 years, the National Football League's Super Bowl is down 19%. College football's playoff is down 24%. So, I mean, it's across the board. And, you know, it's really amazing, too, Kip, there just seems to be a lot of drama. We don't want drama. You know, when we started taking a knee in the National Football League, or when you get into the Ray Lewis stuff, or whenever there's, extracurricular activities that are not NFL, we just want the shield. We want to see the game. We want to see him play. The whole no fun allowed league went around for a long time, and now we love what these players are doing even after picks. But there's just so much drama in college football right now. You can make an argument. I used to love the National Football League because they got paid to play. If you're getting paid to play, baby, I know I'm getting the best. I don't know what an 18-year-old's doing the night before he's going to be playing Southern Cal on Saturday morning. Now that all of a sudden the NIL is a big part of college football, it's just a lot of drama. Then throw in the fact, and like you just said, a lot of those rivalry games are going away. I actually had someone ask me the other day, do you think there's a possibility that Alabama and Auburn will no longer play one day in college football? And I said, Lord, I hope not. But, I mean, it would not surprise me if something comes along and that just doesn't happen. I don't think it would ever happen. But I also never thought the UCLA and USC wouldn't be in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Well, the Pac-12 wouldn't be the Pac-12. Yeah. Right now, in case anybody's had their head in the sand, a league that took 108, that thrived for 108 years as one of the top conferences in the country, in the space of 4 days, lost 8 teams. So as of we speak here today on Kiefer and Curry, the Pac-12 last year will be the Pac-12 this year, but starting next year, there are the Pac-4 because there's only Cal, Stanford, Oregon State, and Washington State left. And what really sucks for about that is, and you got to feel bad for their fan bases, Cal and Stanford are both being wooed by other conferences, still major universities and programs. Nobody's knocking on the Pullman, Washington, or Corvallis, Oregon door. Mm. So these teams that have been in a major conference are probably going to have to join the Mountain West or something. And wow, imagine being a fan of those schools or an alumni. What a letdown.
Unless, of course, the Pac-12 pulls up its bootstraps and somehow brings four more teams into their conference. And they got a little time to get that done. I think that may be a possibility. The other thing I think is really interesting is, you know, we love when everything's equal, right? I mean, yeah, the small town of Buffalo could win a Super Bowl. Cincinnati Bengals played for Super Bowl two of the last 3 years. That we love small market teams that do really, really well. I'm starting to wonder if people are going to say, hey, if Georgia wins another national championship, and is this right? We haven't had a back-to-back-to-back national championship the same since Minnesota in 1936. Is that right?
That's correct. And never in the playoff era. So, this could be unprecedented this year. And yes, Georgia's been dominant, and I'm admittedly a Georgia supporter. I'm not. I've done enough football programming that I've kind of stepped away from it a little bit in terms of allegiance and try to look at it from an objective standpoint. But Georgia has had some narrow misses, so it's really difficult to do. And people that are assuming, and they're the overwhelming favorite to win a third in a row. I'm just never one of those people. You know, I'm a horse racing guy. When a horse has won three or four in a row, I start playing against him because it's so difficult to get the right trip and win. And it's even more difficult in team sports because something can easily go wrong. And when Georgia's had some some stumbles, they have found a way to win those games. The Ohio State win last year in the semifinals was nothing short of miraculous. They were down 13 going into the fourth quarter and still found a way to win that game when Ohio State's kicker had a chance to end it with a 47-yarder and yanked it way left, and Georgia got to the championship and eked out a 65-7 win over TCU. So, you never know what's going to happen, but I would be inclined to bet against Georgia winning a third in a row because it's just so difficult to do.
You've also only had four different teams win the national championship in the last 8 years. And of course the SEC has won the last four with LSU, Alabama, Georgia, and Georgia. I just wonder if, and sometimes I think it's great when you have dynasties and it just pisses people off because they do start rooting against you. And I think it's great for the sport, but I do think there's some SEC fatigue, not here, certainly. We're good to go, but I think there's been SEC fatigue for a long period. And now we're talking about NCAA baseball. I mean, the SEC's on fire right now. They're just doing extremely well. So, while I'm not a Georgia fan, I'm going to be rooting for Alabama. I do think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for the sport, but I'm coming from, a sports broadcaster standpoint that I think it's always good when you have a team that does extremely well for a long period of time because people want to knock them off. So Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But the National Football League, too. I mean, I love the fact that it starts after college football. And maybe because there is a week zero in college football, it doesn't start. I don't like soft openings. If you're going to open up a restaurant, be ready to go. Have your waitstaff go. Have your top food ready to go. Open your restaurant. Put the ballyhoo lights up there and get the neons and just, you know, get the foghorns, the whole nine yards. And that's what the National Football League does. I mean, they put everything on their plate and they do that first week. And I love that about the National Football League. In college football, it's just kind of a meandering, kind of a getting into the way a little bit. You really don't really start watching if you're not a college football fan until about week three or four. The National Football League every week is super important, which I think makes a big part of it too.
Yeah, and you mentioned it before. We know what the structure is. We know that the in our time zone, the noon games are going to kick off all right at the same time. The afternoon games are in the same window. The Sunday night game, you've got the Monday night game, the Thursday night game. You know, on Thanksgiving, there's going to be three games on Thanksgiving Day. The structure and even down to the minute detail. And I know everybody who's even casual NFL fans, but some fans in Alabama and some Southeastern college football strongholds might not realize it's not a coincidence. The Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys host a Thanksgiving Day game every single season.
Love it.
And it's been going on since the 1930s.
Love it.
So that's in Detroit's case. Dallas didn't join the league till 1960, but they've had a Thanksgiving Day game ever since. And it's just the things that we know are there. And I think that structure, especially with college football next year in total disarray, who knows who's going to play when and have 20 team conferences and everything else. I think the NFL is only going to enhance their position because people like to be familiar with what's going on and the structure and like that kind of orderliness for the most part. I believe in their, not only their regular life, but their entertainment life.
You brought up a great point just about 10 minutes ago. Where are you broadcasting live from right now?
Las Vegas.
Yes. There's this FanDuel thing. You talk about the fantasy football thing and, of course, the DraftKings.
Yeah.
Why do you think the National Football League moved that 3 o'clock Central time to 3:15?
So people have time to adjust their lineup.
Yes. So they can adjust
their bets.
So they can get their bets in. It's impossible. You don't want to get beat on red zone at 2:55 and know you only have 4 minutes to try to make it up for the 3 o'clock start. They moved that game to 3:15 for a reason. There's even one that starts at 3:25.
Yeah, they stagger them now. They used to all be at the same time. Yeah.
They do. And when you can look, and you're looking at 32 teams, you got bye weeks, but let's just say there's 16 games a weekend. When you're looking at 16 games, you can actually handicap. You can actually look at every single game and make
every
a bet
on those things.
You can't do that when you're talking about 62 or 63 games in college football. I wish I could, but nothing sucks worse because it seems like when I do really well in college football, I just stink it up in the NFL. And when I do, it's like playing golf. If I'm hitting the ball solid the first nine, I'm going to crap it up on the back nine. I can never put two nines together.
If you make a birdie, you're guaranteed to make a double bogey on the next hole. That's the rule.
I'm more apt to lay an egg in college and professional football as opposed to do great in both on the same weekend. But
because you just mentioned two magic words that also make the NFL really compelling from a betting and fantasy standpoint. Red zone. That's a offshoot from DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket, where you can have every single game on. And now for the first time, it's available through YouTube. You used to have the DirecTV satellite dish, but they have a program called Red Zone that basically just whatever games are going on. If a team is in the red zone and threatening to score, or if a team picks a pass, any score pops up right in sequence, and so you can watch without having to sit and watch all the minutia of exchanging of punts and not much going on. Every time somebody scores in the league, that highlights on instantaneously, and you can follow every single game going on at the same time.
It's the most important channel on my cable. I'm not kidding.
Genius.
Smithsonian, History Channel, Fox News, whatever it is. It's the Red Zone is the most. If I ever move, I'm like, I want Red Zone, then fill in everything after that. And it's only on, 3.5 months out of the year? I mean, right now it's black. I mean, if you go to the Red Zone channel, they don't even run anything on the NFL Red Zone unless, of course, they're in the Red Zone. It is by far the best channel on television, period. And once you start watching, you're like, oh, I may check in some other scores. I'm telling you, when you start watching the NFL Red Zone, no, you will not watch. You won't watch anything else.
Yeah, as soon as they show a touchdown in Seattle, they go, okay, let's go to L.A. because Denver's got first and goal at the 8. I mean, it's just constant action, and you see every touchdown throughout the day. And it's no frills. It's a guy sitting in a studio in a chair.
Scott Hansen, a bunch
of monitors. It's not a lot of production, and usually the host is a wannabe comedian. I think they round up and
Scott Hansen. He's good.
I couldn't remember his name. He hadn't been on in so long. So we'll look forward to Scott being back, because that thing is amazing.
No, it really is. Amazing show, and we're looking forward to doing an amazing show on ABC 3340, 10:30, 11 o'clock Central Time every Saturday morning. It butts right up against that ACC early game of the week. And, of course, next year they're going to be dabbling in the SEC. We're going to get a little SEC twist. This first one, Virginia, Tennessee in their first game, so I cannot wait to do your show. We're going to have legend. Terry's going to be there. Quillian, she's going to be a big part of the show. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, your boy from the Las Vegas Sun is going to be a big part of that, too. So if you're looking for some plays, and maybe you want to call that guy or get on your little website there before the 11 o'clock kickoff, make sure you watch the ABC 3340 starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. We can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, you know, some people are saying, well, you're competing with Game Day and SEC Nation. Our show is going to be more informative, much more entertaining, I can promise you. And you're going to get some guidance from one of the best football handicappers in the country. And the top sports talk radio caller is going to give you his unique perspective each week on Alabama football. So it's going to be must-see TV.
Great show, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, Tony, take care.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Oh.